Will you trust in his word? Will you believe that his word won't ever fail you? His word won't ever leave you alone. If it hadn't been for his word, I wouldn't be here today, because it's his word that carries my life. See, when God spoke a word years ago, his word still lives on. So whatever you're doing in life, guess what? God spoke a word for everything you got to deal with. For every day of your life, there's a word. There's a word. But be like the Samaritan. Say, I believe the testimonies, but I believe more so for the word of God. I believe for the word. Do you believe for the word? I believe because of the word of God. Now, when you believe because of the word, it doesn't matter what somebody else come tell you, because you got a word. I've had a conversation with the Lord, and he's cleared up my understanding. I need my understanding cleared up.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
For a little while today, I want to talk about celebration to crucifixion. Celebration to crucifixion. I want to do something a little interesting today. I don't want to go verse by verse and walk through the text and exegete the text. I don't want to take maxi view of the text. I would, however, like to share in this Holy Week experience that Jesus and Matthew reveals to us that Jesus is experiencing here. For those of you who know that this day, according to history, began Holy Week. Palm Sunday began Holy Week. And there were a series of events that unfolded and were disclosed through this week. Messages that were pertinent and powerful and permanent, and things that Jesus had on his mind his last week in town. And that was some interesting things that I think we did not associate with his last week here. And he was quite busy in the end of his ministry as he was in the beginning of his ministry. He took nothing for granted. He left nothing to chance. He said, I do always those things which please my Father. And he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And he included himself in that reality and thus did all that he could do in the time allotted for him to do it. Now, one of the things, again, we open up in this 21st chapter with Matthew showing us the Palm Sunday experience. And many of you, of course, being in the church a long time, are very familiar with Palm Sunday and the celebration of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem and the significance of him riding on an ass that has never borne the weight of a man ever before. How Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 reveals this scene in a prophetic setting, and how all that he did to fulfill Scripture, so that we could understand that God has got this thing fixed. Not by chance, not by accident, not by incident, but by providence. God has got this thing fixed. Everything had its time and its place, and Jesus put them both right there. And what was so important about that is while he was doing it, he was helping us to understand the mind of God through the Word of God so that we could operate in similar fashion when he would leave planet Earth. He took 12 men, transferred his trend of thought into their thought processes to help them carry on when he would go back to be with his Father, so that if that was an occasion to come up that they might not have the immediate understanding of, all they simply would have to do is be led of the Holy Ghost, who would show them and share with them and say to them what Jesus would do in this situation. Isn't it good to know that we have the Holy Ghost today who will do the very same thing for us? The Word has declared, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen, no matter how much power Satan has, it's not more than God. No matter how much authority he has, it's not more than God. No matter what he does, whatever he does is limited to what God says he can do. And I don't know if you know it or not, but the devil is a liar and a deceiver. He knows how to bluff, and he knows how to bully, and he knows how to make it appear larger than life. But the truth of the matter is, he can't do no more than God allows him. And he's got to check with him first concerning God's people. That's why you need to know God won't put more on you than you can bear. That's why Jesus himself had to use that same philosophy and that same principle even in his own earthly life. When things got to be so heavy and burdensome for Jesus, he had to remember the same thing while he was in this flesh. Now, all of the celebration that went on Palm Sunday, and verse 8 and 9 tells you what they did and how they did it. Verse 10 tells you he comes on into Jerusalem, and while he comes there, the city is moved. All the city is moved. And again, that word moved meant stirred. It literally means aggravated or agitated. The city wasn't happy to see him. And I've learned this, and you better learn it real quick and fast yourself, that the world ain't all always happy to see Jesus. You go to help folk, you go to pull folk up out of the muck and the mire. You go to pull people out of the dark. You go to help folk, and you would think they'd be happy. You think they'd be grateful, and some folk are worse off after you help them than they were before then. They act like you're the enemy. Yes, keep on living, you'll see. And so they celebrate on this Sunday. And there were two groups of people. That were the people of the multitude that came with Jesus, who knew Jesus, was familiar with Jesus to a great degree with his ministry, had seen miracles, had seen signs, had seen wonders, had watched him cast demons out, had done all of those. They were there. Those were the ones throwing the clothes off, cutting down the branches, throwing them in the street, celebrating Jesus. They gave him what they had at that point. But in the city were some people who had come back to Jerusalem for the Passover, who were not familiar with Jesus, who did not know Jesus, who didn't know his miracles, his signs, his wonders, and all of those things. And they asked, who is this? Because everything that Jesus stood for seemed to go against the religious establishment. Even the children were singing and were happy about Jesus. And the religious rulers got mad. Jesus said, hadn't you heard? It's been predicted. It's been prophesied that out of the mouth of babes and suckling thou hast perfected or ordained praise. Y'all won't open up your mouth, but God's got some babies who are more happy to sing about Jesus than the folk who ought to be singing about Jesus because of what Jesus has and will do for them. So he goes through a whole lot. But what I like about this is I just want to just walk a little bit for as long as the Holy Spirit will allow me to. We might only get to one day, but if that's what he gives me, that's what he gives me. And but we do know that there is a full week ahead here, and it begins right where we have begun today in Scripture. Now, here's the interesting thing. At the end of the day's celebration, he goes back to Bethany, about 2 miles, mile and a half, 2 miles east of Jerusalem, and he stays with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And they have sweet fellowship because they are friends, and they all love God and love the ministry of God, etc. And so the first day of Holy Week, Jesus is on his way back to Jerusalem. And when he comes back through Jerusalem, you know, the Bible teaches us that he sees a fig tree. And the leaves are all green and full and firm. And he goes to get some figs off of the tree, but can't find none. And because he knows what he's looking at, he knows that others had not picked off all the figs. There wasn't no figs on the tree. And so the Bible says he curses the fig tree. Now listen to this. As he curses the fig tree, the disciples are listening at him. He's on the way back to Jerusalem. And so when he curses the fig tree, he doesn't make a big deal about it. He just tells the fig tree, you will bear fruit no more. You will fool nobody no more. And that's it. And kept on walking. Well, listen to this and hold on to this. The tree heard him. Some of y'all are catching it on your way home. The tree heard him. Now, this is still Monday. He's on his way to Jerusalem now. And then he gets to Jerusalem and he looks at Jerusalem and he sees how they have slipped from that pristine place they were with God, how they honored God, loved God, stood for what God wanted them to stand for as God's people. They were not what they ought to have been, did what they should have been doing. He was disappointed, and so he wept over Jerusalem. But they didn't care. They didn't care that he wept over them. So here's what he does next on Monday now. He goes in the temple, and he cleans the temple one more time. Now listen, so far Monday he has cursed, he has cried, and now he's cleaning the temple again for the money changers and those who sold doves and all of those who dealt dishonestly in the temple. And he declared to them that God has called his house the house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. And he whipped the money changers out of the temple with an authoritative move that nobody could stop. Now, what was interesting about that was this. Where were the leaders? Where were the religious leaders at that point? They had the power to throw him out the temple, but where were they? And because they were not on their jobs doing what they were supposed to do, that was nobody guarding the house, and they did what they wanted to do, but Big Brother cleaned it up before he left. He then goes on back to Bethany, spends another night in Bethany. Tuesday morning, he's coming back to Jerusalem, and they call his attention to the fig tree. Jesus didn't pay no attention to it because in Jesus' mind, it was dead Monday. When he spoke, the fig tree was good as gone. And from there, listen at this, Jesus took the opportunity to begin to minister on faith and helping the people of God to understand this issue of faith, why it's so important to the program of God. Why is it so important? Because the just shall live by faith. You've got to understand faith because you've got to operate in faith. And that faith has got to be so real and relevant, it doesn't matter the size of it. It could be the grain of a mustard seed. But God will do what he wants to do with faith, even that small. He then goes on and teaches these kinds of principles, etc. And then he goes into the local synagogue and he takes over there and shares principles with them. But he also does something else. He begins to pronounce woe on his enemies there and all the people who are playing church and playing right and playing like they are what they aren't, but they are simply going through the motions. And Jesus lets them know some important facts about what shall happen to those kind of folk. He's going through all of this. Now, that's on Tuesday. He goes on back to Bethany Tuesday night. Then Wednesday is a strange day in Scripture because there's not much said in Scripture about Wednesday. It is suggested that on Wednesday he contemplated what was about to happen as his week began to intensify and as Calvary became closer and the greatest sacrifice of his life was right at edge's end and all of that. And so Wednesday, they don't say much about what he did. They don't even say he leaves Bethany on Wednesday. But on Thursday, he comes on back to Jerusalem. Now, what's interesting about Thursday is that Jesus deals with church folk. He deals with sending Peter and James to make ready for the Passover supper that they are going to eat later. While he has sent them there, he's moving and ministering and getting things together. And so while he's dealing with and getting closer to Calvary, there's much that's going on, because what you don't realize is he's got two of the closest men to him. Judas and Peter. Judas was the treasurer. He had the money bag. Peter was his chairman of his board. And yet he knew that Peter was going to deny him and Judas was going to betray him. And he had to find the right moment in time to be able to share with them what they were going to do. Because here's what he knew. He knew no matter when he told them, they were still going through with it. It wasn't as if he could say, listen, I have seen in your future how you're going to do this and you're going to do that. He does tell them that, but he does not give them the opportunity to get out of what they're doing, because he knows they cannot and will not. But he simply gives them an understanding of, I know what you're doing. You're not fooling me. And what's one of the things I love about Jesus Christ? Listen, he chose those 12. He said, In the word, did not I choose you 12, and one of you is a devil? You know, it always amazes me about folk think that you don't know if you're spiritual who you got around you. But what you miss is everybody around you ain't around you for you, but for the thing that God's got to use them for. And Judas was around him because he was the betrayer. He could have changed his mind. He could have done it another way. But that was not the way it happened. And that was not the way it was going to happen. But he knew that. And he still had a chance to change his mind and do things differently. And oh, he did surfacely. You know the story. When they got Jesus, and then he became so burdened at what he had done, he took the 30 pieces of silver back to the temple, threw it down on the floor, and told them, because they wouldn't receive it into their holy treasure, when that dirty money came out the holy treasure, he told them, listen, we can't take that money. It's dirty. And they took it and they bought a field for those who didn't have a place to be buried, because they were then holier than thou. Doesn't it amaze you how folk get holy when they want to get holy? And Judas couldn't handle it. He went out and hung himself, when all he could have said was, Lord, forgive me. Pride won't let folks say, forgive me. Bigotedness won't let folks say, forgive me. Much of themselves, filled with themselves, won't let them say, forgive me. They'd rather go through all that they have to go through than to simply say, I'm sorry. One of the worst things you can do is be one of those kind of Christians that never say you're sorry. Nobody can ever reach you because you all of that. All of that. God doesn't want us to be like that. Well, they prepare for the Passover, because Thursday was the Passover. And so now there's the Last Supper. The Lord's Supper is instituted on this Last Supper with them. And then after that, listen, we're still on Thursday now. He institutes a foot washing ceremony. Not for the purpose of instituting a foot washing ministry, but for the purpose of saying, if you can't wash your brother's feet, if you cannot bow your lofty self down and wash their dusty feet, something is wrong with you. You can't be so big and I washed it, but I ain't washed nobody's stinky feet. No, it's really not about washing the feet as much as it is getting your attitude together, humbling yourself, and being ready to do whatever it takes to be a minister or servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be nothing he can ask you to do that you're too big to do. Ain't got nothing to do with no title and no time you've been in jail. I've been here too long to be doing that. I done paid my dues. What dues have you paid? Have you paid more than what Jesus paid for your soul? And so he taught them how to be humble. The lesson was simply a lesson in humility. If Jesus the Christ, the Son of God Almighty, would humble himself and wash their feet, there ought not be one who'd have a problem with washing anybody else's feet. And then afterwards, we're still on Thursday, they sung a hymn. And they went on into into the Garden of Gethsemane. And so while they're there, Jesus sweating like great drops of blood falling because he had to leave some down at the gate and they couldn't come with him, and he took Peter, James, and John, but he realized they couldn't handle this, so he left them there and went a little farther. And there he is praying to his Father. His soul is so heavily laden that the tears fall like great drops of blood. And on this night, he gets the breakthrough that he needs. He goes to God three times in prayer, said, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." He'd gone to his disciples. They were asleep. He woke them up. He went back again. They were asleep again. But the third time, he told them, "Sleep on. Take your rest." Because the Bible says God sent an angel down and strengthened him. And that angel ministered to Jesus and anointed him afresh. And Jesus was ready for everything that he had to deal with. And here come Judas and his gang. The power on Jesus was so thick. The anointing was so fresh. When Jesus stood forward, they fell back as dead. Judas had already said, "Listen, the one I go and hold fast and I kiss him, that's the one. Hold him fast." Because now they couldn't, Jesus didn't have to even say nothing. They couldn't handle him. He talking about, "Y'all hold him fast." But Jesus was ready for Calvary.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577.